Hey everybody, welcome to this mini-sode.
Mini Blake and Brian
podcast, not religious podcast. It's been a long time since we've done a mini-sode.
Yeah, I think
The hurricane. Yeah, that's just because Mother Nature didn't want us to do a podcast that week, so I did the music picks.
Yeah.
It's been a while. So welcome to the mini-sode.
It's been a while.
Since I could. Follow-up to the Cults series that we just did, 6 episodes of nothing but intense research. My brain hurts, and I know way more about cults than I ever thought it would.
Yeah, so like now you, if you ever go to a party,
I can tell everybody
like a work party or whatever, and hey, y'all. There's that awkward silence where no one knows.
So how about that Jim Jones?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Definitely useless knowledge. I'm full of it.
6 full weeks of intense research of all these cults, but it was for a good reason.
It really was. Our aim when we decided to do the cults, not only do we like the macabre and the weird and strange, and cults definitely fall into that category, but our aim with every episode we do is to tie it in to our faith.
Especially the worst Christmas songs ever.
Definitely. Well, and even with the Christmas songs, I mean, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, so we try to do, when we're doing, the Christmas song thing was, I mean, let's be honest, that was just filler.
That one might have been filler for you. I fasted for 4 weeks for that.
I'm not supposed to tell anybody.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, but our aim in doing this is we don't know everything, and we don't, we're going through things just like everyone else. But at the core of it, we're both either currently going through or just been through a deconstruction, reconstruction of what we actually believe. And in doing so, we thought it would be good because we both fancy ourselves as quasi-entertainers.
I'm sorry?
We both have personalities that, I mean, we like making videos. We like goofing off or whatever. Let's do this in a podcast, but let's focus on what we're going through, what we're interested in, and what we want to talk about. So with the cults, it wasn't just, let's learn about cults. It's, where do we want to take this? Where do we want to go? And how does this apply to everyday life for us as believers in Christ? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the cults that we talked about have some direct ties and correlations with the Christian church. Some of them didn't. But what we found when we were doing research is, you know, people fall victim to cult-like mentality and cult-like structures, and they don't even realize it because it's not the crazy side of a cult. There's two sides of the cult. You have right in the middle where there's really everything's normal. To the far right of the middle, you have the wacky, crazy, you know, some of the things that we've talked about, you know, believing in the alien stuff. And I mean, you just have some, I'm a reincarnated Jesus Christ. You mm-hmm. just, and then on the other side of the spectrum, you have what really defines that cult is the manipulation, the lies, the secrecy, the power, and all of the intangibles that make a cult happen. Now, somewhere in there, we can find things where we can say, man, it may not be a quote-unquote cult, like we all dress the same and live out in a field somewhere, you know, worshiping Xenon, but we may be a part of something where it's very cult-like. It shares some of those characteristics that these cults have.
Yeah.
There's a tie there. They mostly all have manipulation. The power of the leadership is very noticeable. The intention is very noticeable. Like, what is the intended purpose of what we belong to? And it can be churches. It can be like fraternal lodges, like the Masons, you know, places like that, the Elks Club or whatever. These places, these, I don't know, institutions, they maintain a little bit of that cult-like persona.
Yeah.
And we just want to kind of dive into that a little bit and maybe bring some awareness to, maybe just take a look at what you're involved in and ask yourself, is this healthy? Is this normal? Is this a cult? Not, you know, freaky things we're doing out in the middle of a field cult, but, you know, is the intended purpose of what I'm a part of being followed through?
The, like you said, it won't be exact, and you can't necessarily look at all the crazy happenings of the Branch Davidians or Heaven's Gate, things like that, right, and say, man, I remember when, you know, such and such.
I remember when my lodge leader made us, you know, buy automatic weapons by the truckload. No, I mean, not that fantastical.
Right, but looking at tendencies of these places and relating them to wherever you're, you know, attending definitely. Or, you know, maybe have attended in the past, and it's just kind of making you raise your eyebrows a little bit and question things more.
Or what you're a part of. I remember talking to a neighbor of mine, and I won't say his name, but he was a part of...
Sven. Sorry.
Sven. He was a part of one of these fraternal orders, like the Elks or the Masons or whatever. And going into it, he wanted to kind of belong to something, a brotherhood, you know, what have you. But the more and more he got into it, the more and more he could see that the intended purpose of what he belonged to didn't match with how things were being run.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of manipulation, a lot of secrecy, a lot of things kept from, a lot of just outright lies that happened in his club house or whatever you call those things. And he quit. So, I mean, that definitely makes me think, like, when I would hear him talk about it, I, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, gosh, this is almost a cult.
Mm-hmm.
This could be, I mean, if the leader of this thing just, you know, snapped one day and wanted everyone to start doing something, I could see these guys doing that because of what's happening. But more importantly, I think in every city and every town across the nation here in the US of A and overseas, I think not every religious establishment is operating with the right intentions. Mm. I think there's a lot of power-hungry people. I think there's a lot of people who are involved in situations where it's just unhealthy.
And it's the human nature coming out. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, a lot of religious leaders are still human beings, and therefore they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to think like humans. And
I mean, and I think you and I have had a conversation before about I'm all about, not all about, but I'm okay with Furtick and them. But there's a following there with Stephen Furtick where it's there's a group of people who are enamored with what goes on with him and follow him just for the rock star energy that's around him, you know?
It may not be intentional, but they really worship Furtick over God, and they don't even realize it.
Right, and I love...
Everybody, but...
I love listening to Stephen Furtick. Yeah. I think he's a great communicator. We've been up there numerous times. It's a great environment. I've definitely felt God there while I was there. But at the same time, I'm not there all the time, and I don't know the ins and outs and everything. From an outside observer.
Yeah, very surface level.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I just I feel like even on that scale, all the way down to a, you know, a church out in past the county line that may be running 20 or 30 people, I'm sure there are more places that fall under this, you know, stigma of could be cultish than not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people out there who are going unchecked. There's the when we're talking about faith and spirituality and the vulnerableness that you have to have to embrace your faith, you're putting your trust of something that's so valuable and so vulnerable into kind of this church leadership. That's a huge responsibility, number one. Number two, that is a huge, commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It rivals marriage. It truly does. Putting your spirituality in the hands of another to help guide you and teach you along your journey, that's intimate stuff.
Yeah.
Very intimate stuff. And more often than not, I feel like it's taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, and it could be even. It could be 50-50. But I fear, and just with talking with people that I know who've been through things and have kind of just left Christianity by the side or whatever, some of the things they tell me, I'm just like, wow, mm-hmm. I can't believe that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that guy or how are those guys or whoever, how is that still happening? But it is.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah. We had that realization. We spent a majority of the weekend watching Scientology, Leah Remini show on A&E. And it's just
like, how
my mind is blown, right? That this is still an establishment. It's still a functioning thing. But I mean, money, man.
Look at the establishments on every street corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid. I truly think the bad outweigh the good, mm-hmm. at this point in time, mm-hmm. where we're at. It could be 50-50, and I could be very wrong. I could be taking the temperature of this whole scenario, and it could be very wrong.
Yeah,
I know some good dudes who are in ministry who do good things, and they're the minority, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like my friends out in California, Eric and Faye,
mm-hmm.
The Dorals. I mean, those are great people.
Yeah.
And they're involved in ministry. I think of my buddy in Texas, John Morse, great guy, but they're few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the majority of guys having me been in ministry for 6 or 7 years, the majority of people I know, I can't say that about, you know, confidently,
yeah.
that they're a part of a great thing or they themselves are doing what is intended for them to do. And it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
It really is kind of scary.
Yeah.
You came across something
that
was real interesting when we were talking earlier. And the source of this is
unbelievable.
The best source ever.
Yeah. I really need to continue the article to figure out where this came into play, but several years ago, the founder of IHOP, yes, the International House of Pancakes.
Almost International House of Hamburgers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
April Fool's joke
that's
or whatever.
That's right. IHOB.
IHOB.
Mike Bickle. He created a list of 7 ways to recognize the difference between a religious community and a cult. Of all the people, again, founder of IHOB.
Founder of IHOB.
Yeah. All right. Number one, opposing critical thinking, which we've seen, you know, multiple establishments.
And what I'm opposing critical thinking, what I think of when I hear that is you have a church member or someone who's at the lodge who come up and say, whoa, wait a minute. Why are we doing this and how is this being done? Mm-hmm. And instead of getting an answer, you get, you know, blown off. Well, you don't get a straight answer.
Yeah, that or even...
a too long of an explanation that never ties into it.
How dare you even ask that?
Yeah, why are you even asking? You shouldn't ask these types of things.
What's wrong with your spiritual walk that you would ask
Why would you ask this if you were living right? This would never come into your head.
Yeah. Number two, isolating members and penalizing them for leaving.
This is a... This is a heartbreaker here.
It is.
Because I would think that, and I'm speaking from ignorance because I've never been in the situation where I've had a church and I was the pastor of a church and someone came to me and said, hey, we're leaving, you know. But I think I would say that I wouldn't penalize them for leaving. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't lash out at them. I would want to know why and what's going on and what could I do different and how could we make
sure
it better.
Things are okay.
But the whole isolating members and penalizing them for leaving. But you know what? I remember if we go back to the Travis interview, mm-hmm. you know, I told Travis, listen, I did it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to cut ties with him because he left the church. So I guess that is in kind of a respect of a penalization for him leaving. I've since grown and become more mature in my spirituality and in my real life to know that that was complete bull crap.
Yeah.
You should never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if a person burns the place down leaving.
Yeah.
That's just not Christ-like.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
Especially isolating them. You're supposed to be the church. You're supposed to be the example of Christ. I don't remember Christ, like, isolating people who didn't believe or who didn't attend his, you know, sermons on the Mount or anything.
Yeah. Number three, emphasizing special doctrines outside of Scripture.
This is one that I find there's a lot of emphasis put on doctrines of faith, declarations of faith, statements of faith that a church will have.
Yeah.
So you have a church and they say, this is what we believe. Boom. Mm-hmm. And even though I think the majority of the time, those doctrines or statements of faith or declarations of faith or whatever it is are taken from Scripture, when those as a culmination of a rule book or a culmination of a belief system start outweighing, you know, the mission of Christ, I think there's a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you start relying on, well, my denomination believes this, and that overrides, you know, love God and, you know, love others.
Yeah.
That kind of...
You've lost the point.
You've lost the point of it. You've mm-hmm. missed it. You've mm-hmm. missed the whole point of this whole Christ thing.
Yep. Number four, seeking inappropriate loyalty to their leaders.
This is kind of what we were talking about with Furtick and them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think inappropriate means they like to get naked together.
Sure.
You know, I think...
Rubbing
kind
peanut
of,
butter on the chest.
Yeah.
For a tick.
He's got to be a hairy guy.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's got to
be
right.
A hairy guy. That peanut butter get all stuck. I think inappropriate loyalty would be going against your Holy Spirit led feeling.
Yeah.
Like, because of who your lodge leader or senior pastor or whoever is, you feel an allegiance to them. You feel like you owe them
mm-hmm.
your loyalty. And if something doesn't seem right, you're like, well, he knows better than me because he's got a direct connection with God.
Listen,
that's bull crap.
And people do it all the time because that's who they see. And that's
right.
Like, you know, they haven't seen God. They haven't seen Jesus. So
right.
The person who is standing at the pulpit, who's presenting the word of God to you, it's easy to idolize that person,
right?
Because you're hearing those words spoken from that person. So what rings in your head is the way that that person presented it.
Right.
But that person didn't come up with that.
Right.
He's just being used as a messenger.
Right.
And just because he looks cool and wears a Metallica shirt.
Right.
You know, and you know, he's got some
even
Jordans.
On the, or on the far other end of it, just
yeah.
because he's a put together, you know, three piece suit guy all the
sure.
time and speaks eloquently or right. whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust him over what the Holy Spirit is telling me.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us not to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a reason why the Bible had put into place those checks and balances is so that we won't follow man over God.
Right.
And I can definitely see this one leading into the one, the number two with isolating members
yeah.
and penalizing. I can see someone saying, well, we don't need to associate with this person anymore. We need to keep them at arm's length because they've left the church or this, that, and the other. And you follow that direction because you've owed your loyalty to this man
mm-hmm.
instead of doing the Christ-like thing and saying, nah, you know what? Just because they did this certain thing, I'm not keeping them at arms, like just because they left our church, we're not going to talk crap about them or not acknowledge their existence. We're going to maintain a Christ-like relationship with this person.
Right.
So I can definitely see this one leading into others.
Right. Number five, dishonoring the family unit.
I don't know. Maybe on that one, like polygamy. Maybe. What do you take off of that one?
For that one, I feel like that's maybe like say
church comes before family.
Right. That's mm-hmm. what I'm thinking. So say you come to me
mm-hmm.
and you're like, Blake, I think that, you know, hey, heads up. I think that whatever you're getting involved in is probably not the best idea for you.
Yeah.
But the church family being like, no, this is the best thing for you.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And
or like your wife.
Right. Yeah.
Owing loyalty to the establishment of the church or the organization
yeah.
over the loyalty to your wife.
Yeah.
I will say this. Secrecy has zero place in marriage.
No, yeah, yeah.
Zero place. So if someone is asking you to keep something, information, whatever, from your spouse,
mm-hmm.
that's a red flag.
Yeah.
You know, whether whatever it may be, if you're sitting down with your church leader or your organization leader and they're like, listen, this has to stay between you and I, you can't even tell your wife, that's a red flag right there.
Yeah.
Because your spouse should be your accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be able to run things by your spouse and say, hey, does this hold water? Does this add up?
Yeah.
And when someone takes that away from you, there enters a form of manipulation, which shouldn't exist.
Mm-mm. None.
Yeah.
Number six, crossing biblical boundaries of behavior versus sexual purity and personal ownership.
Yeah. And we read about it all the time. It's the butt of a lot of Catholic jokes.
Yeah.
You know? But it happens. I mean, here locally, I remember I can name like two or three churches mm-hmm. who've had like a scandal where a staff member had an affair or was, you know, diddling with the kids or something like
yeah.
that. And once you start to cover that up, I would think that once that got brought up, okay, one time it gets brought up, let's consider the source, let's do our, you know, investigation of it or whatever. If there's multiple instances of it, I mean, that's a problem and it's got to be solved. But instead, what you see is, and you know, the Catholic Church has been doing this, man, since he's hearing about priests, you know, diddling with little boys or whatever, but they try to cover it up. to save face, to save the reputation of the church.
Because then when it finally comes out,
I would have more respect for the church or the organization if the leader came out and said, listen, our treasurer of the Elks Lodge has been molesting children. I would have so much respect for them. Yep. I would have so much respect if a church leader came out and said, listen, our youth pastor's been, you know, had an extramarital affair or whatever, and we're dealing with it.
Yep.
Man, so much respect.
Yep. Be upfront and honest about it.
Instead, what you have is 5, 6, 10 years
later.
We don't
talk about that.
Yeah.
We don't bring that up.
It comes up, and you're thinking, oh, my Lord, this has been covered up all this time.
What else are you hiding?
What else?
What else has happened? And then who's got who by the balls?
Well, if you're hiding something of that and that magnitude,
yeah,
it's so much easier to hide the little things,
mm-hmm.
like lying about church attendance or lying about, you know, the money coming into your lodge or something
right.
like that. You know, it gets so much easier to lie about the little things because we're already covering up this huge scandal. So let's cover up everything.
Yeah. And then finally, number 7, separation from the church.
Yeah. When I think this is talking about the big C.
Big C. Oh, yeah. It's
big C.
Yeah.
Separation from what Christ actually stands for.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you find in the church world is, you know, churches will come out with vision statements or mission statements or whatever, the pastor's vision. I think those are good things, and I think the pastor's vision is an important thing until if it starts putting more emphasis on ABC church,
yeah,
instead of the big C church or what Christ actually is, when it becomes a franchise
or thinking that there's no other,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right, like this is the only,
like, this is it. This everybody is else it. Is wrong.
Everyone else is wrong.
They got it all wrong.
God only shows up here. I know he shows up here. He's not showing up anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the inside track on the Holy Spirit and God.
Yeah.
And this is the only place in town you can find him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, when that kind of poison is leaked into its members.
Yeah.
And then the members, it's one thing for the head pastor to be arrogant about and proud
yeah.
of his church. It's another thing when he teaches it to the members that this is the only way.
Yeah.
We are it.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not even be, you know, and we are it and no one else has it. It could just be an elitist attitude like, oh, you know, those Presbyterians over there, we know what they believe.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, those Lutherans, they do the sprinkle baptism. They're not really baptized. You know, crap like that. That tears down what the big C church is
right.
supposed to be.
Yeah.
Just because you're having little man syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel like you have to be the biggest, baddest on the block. And it's just
like an idiot.
Yeah.
So with six episodes straight of a deep dive into these cults and there's plenty more that we could have covered.
No, yeah.
Honestly, my brain's fried, and I don't think I could handle any more information and studying up on it. But going into detail about how they believe and instances of abuse and sexual abuse, physical abuse, this and that and other, mental abuse. It was interesting to look at, interesting to try to grasp how someone could fall into a cult and fall into they feel the need to join something like this. Everyone's looking for a sense of belonging somewhere. Everyone's looking for
the answers,
a purpose, you know? So when you find something that you want to hold on to, you know, that's where they find you vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know,
and
really want to take advantage of that.
Right.
And you making, you know, sit back and look at somewhere that you may go to church, or maybe used to go to church, or it doesn't even have to be a church. It
right.
just be any type of establishment.
Right.
And see these things. And yeah, they might not be as extreme as, you know, Warren Jeffs
or right.
David Koresh or David Miscavige, you know.
Right.
But I think spiritual abuse is a very real thing.
I agree. I think here's a good test, okay? You ask yourself three questions. First, and this list that we read off had one of them. The first one I would think is what you are a part of open to criticism?
Yeah.
Or even questioning.
Mm-hmm.
Are they open to it? And I'm not talking about going in there and saying, oh man, I don't like the music when it's loud, or I don't like, you know, this song. I'm talking about real criticism of why are we doing this? What is the purpose of this? Why do we believe this? You know, why are you telling me that God is saying this? You know, and with explanation, if they are not open to criticism, I think that's a red flag.
Yeah.
I think the second one is secrecy. If you get a sense of a place where you belong, and only a certain group of people are privileged to the knowledge, or privileged to that ins and outs, and privileged to what's happening. I'm not saying, because what you'll have is you'll have a lot of people say, hey, this is an open door policy. You can come in, you can check our books, you can check blah, 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 blah. And that gives people a sense of comfort. Okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when decisions are being made or ideas are being floated, does everyone know about it? Or is it just a small group of people who hold that information? That's something that the Catholic Church did centuries ago,
mm-hmm.
to keep the church in power by not allowing its members or you know, Catholics to have Bibles. You know, the church was the authority on what the Bible. It's the same deal.
Yeah.
You know, are there certain sensitive areas? Sure. Sure there are. But those are far and few between.
Mm-hmm.
Those are 5% out of the 100% of what's going on. So is there transparency? Basically, is there true transparency? Do only a small group of people know what's going on and are privileged to know what's going on? And I would say the third thing is, have I ever been manipulated by the church leadership or the organizational leadership, whatever? Have I ever been manipulated? Have I ever been swayed to think a certain way against my better judgment? Have I ever been talked into something? Have I ever had an ideal that's not related to the Bible or anything that's shoved down my throat so much that it becomes effectively a brainwashing technique, and now I'm regurgitating, you know, what the leadership is saying? I think those are the three questions you need to ask yourself.
Yep.
And I would love to say if yes to any of those questions, you need to start taking a hard critical look at what you belong to.
And if you want to consult someone, I would highly suggest consulting someone who is not a part of whatever it is.
Right.
You know, because it's really easy to go to someone within that group,
right,
ask questions, and then be like, you're overthinking
this. And then there goes the manipulation again.
Yeah.
There goes that sense of power and control.
Just reach out.
I think at the end of the day, you can definitely see one of these places. I can see one of these places. After going through this cult series, it's easier to recognize if a place is more about XYZ church than Big C church. If the leadership is manipulative, non-transparent, secretive.
Yeah.
And if the allowance of critical thinking or critical questioning isn't allowed. I mean, those things are easier to spot now that I've gone through this.
Yeah.
Because time and time again in these cults, you know someone, and we read about it and we talked about it. People asked questions and they were told they were pacified with answers. Mm-hmm. You know, here, let me stick the binky in your mouth. You go in the corner,
yeah,
and we'll tell you what to think and what to do.
These are extreme cases. All these are, they ended in violence. They ended in death. They ended in, you know, sexual abuse.
They're extreme.
But there's ties that can be made.
Right.
To,
they don't have to be extreme to know that you're a part of something that isn't a part of what you think it's a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, point and right there, you know, that what is what you belong to? Do they uphold their intention?
Yep.
Or are there things that you constantly question or you're thinking or ideas in the back of your head that's like, huh, why? You know, I went to my lodge meeting the other day and, you know, they were collecting money for, you know, this and that. Why are we doing that? And then you just get told because that's what the vote was. That's another thing. Checks and balances.
Yeah.
If a place doesn't have fluid checks and balances, listen, the leadership needs to answer to someone and it should be, there should be no, I don't know how to say it. There shouldn't be any kind of conflict of interest there. Like, you shouldn't be related to the people who are checking up on you. No. You shouldn't, you know, the people checking up on you shouldn't work for you. The people checking up, you know, you go to the lodge or the church or whatever, and, you know, the council that holds the leadership accountable is related to them or works for them, or, you know what I'm saying? They've been best friends for like 500 years. That shouldn't be allowed. It should be a very wide array of people who have zero connection to the leadership.
Yeah.
That's the only true way to obtain, checks and balances. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be able, if I'm in a leadership position, I should not be able to sway or have impact on those people's decision making about my decision making whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think that was pretty good.
That's it. There you have it.
There's your mini-sode. Just, you know, think critically, people. You know, make sure you're not,
because it's okay to ask.
It is. We want you guys to be a part of the big C. We want you guys to, man, go out and spread the gospel of Jesus and help people and love people regardless of what they're affiliated with, what they drink on a Friday night, you know, where they sleep at night. Love people, man, and represent Christ. And the rest of it, the Holy Spirit will take care of.
Yeah.
That's not your job.
That is not your job. There you have it. All right.
All right.
Well, thank you guys.
Yeah.
Minisode.
Minisode complete. Look forward to a special guest we have for the next episode.
That's right.
Yeah. Very knowledgeable man on many subjects.
And what a butt.
He got a badonkadonk.
He's got a donk.
Donk.
No doubt.
Donkadonkadonkadonk.
Can't wait.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
All right.
We'll sign off.
Okay.
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 Be nice to one another.
Bye, guys.